B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe second or third only to William Penn and Ben Franklin. All right? I was ready to go ham on the Phillies if they made this some kind of slim version of the Fanatic, like an in-shape, almost superhero version of the Fanatic. I was ready to go ham. Fortunately, I don't have to go ham. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Now, we've talked about love. We've talked about people not bashing the Fanatic too much, the Philly Fanatic. And we've talked mostly today about Ben Simmons and the injury and how much time he could be missing. We know he's out tonight. We know he's getting further evaluation today. There was a report from Woj on that. And we've also been talking about Joel Embiid and how the Sixers did not look so hot in Miami. The man that was the lucky man amongst us to be in Milwaukee for that game, from Inquirer.com, our friend Marcus Hayes. Good morning, Marcus.
You ever been to Milwaukee?
I have been to Milwaukee. I have, yes.
And why would you use the words lucky to have been in Milwaukee in this sequence?
Because I was in Milwaukee in early January, and I think I froze the second I walked outside. How was the weather this time around?
It was 4 when I landed. Friday morning, but it actually got pretty nice. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
And I'm a cold weather guy. I grew up about, I don't know, 20 minutes from the Canadian border in New York. So
okay.
That stuff, it makes me nostalgic when I'm that cold.
Yeah, I think I had a nice meal at Ted's Steakhouse, I think it is.
I went to, Tenuta's Italian restaurant outside of Milwaukee with Keith Pompey. We ate at the bar, and it was spectacular.
Very nice.
That's the only food I've had. Yeah, actually, Milwaukee's been pretty gentrified, and it's kind of a foodie city now. It's a pretty good place.
Yeah, I will say this. If you want to make a road trip, any Sixers fans out there, maybe Eagles fans go to Green Bay like they did this past year. Milwaukee's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours south. Nice little spot. Chicago, Milwaukee's not too far either. But about that game itself, Marcus, and you've been pretty on point with Joel Embiid and Sixers ownership and Ben Simmons and Brett Brown. You have a great article on Inquirer.com right now, as a matter of fact. I was just reading through it earlier. It seems like this Sixers team, which was surrounded by praise to start out the year, is now surrounded by turmoil and skepticism. I don't know which way to look with this Sixers team, especially with Ben Simmons and this injury. But to focus on Joel Embiid to start off with, this is a guy that said best player in the world and then 17 points, 11 rebounds against the actual best player in the world right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo. What are you to make of Joel Embiid after that performance, after calling himself out before it?
Well, I will say a couple of things. Number one, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the world. Number two, Joel Embiid played like the best player in the world 2 days before and against the Nets when they were played without Ben Simmons, and the Nets had, I don't know, I think they'd won 3 or 4. They'd beaten Toronto. You know, they're not a great team, and the Sixers were playing at home. But Joel Embiid played probably the best all-around game I'd ever seen him play, owned the fourth quarter and the overtime. That said, he has the capacity to be the best player in the world. He's, you know, 25 pounds and about 6 post moves from being there. So, you know, I think that he says things like that to sort of frame his next commercial drop. I think he had a Mountain Dew commercial drop the next day, and I mean, I'm pretty sure he had a Hulu spot that was pretty hot. I think he does it essentially to market himself and his, you know, his brand, saying things like that because he's just too inconsistent a player for that to be taken seriously. And yeah, Giannis is he's a special beast. But you know, the best part about that game in Milwaukee is they had a very precise scouting report on how to defend Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it worked in the first half. Joel Embiid got 2 quick fouls in the third quarter, but it would have been interesting to see how that game played out had Joel Embiid been able to play the middle of the third quarter.
Do you think Joel Embiid will ever be the type of player that will actually take his talent more seriously? Do you think that's the problem, or do you think he is more about being the show than he is being the MVP candidate?
Right now, he's clearly more about being the show and enjoying being young and, you know, like every young athlete. And he's more than a young athlete. He's kind of a Superman. He's unique. There's really never been anybody this big and this skilled and this talented in NBA history. And that includes Shaq and Wilt, who, you know, is a different era for Wilt. But he's just a different being. And I think that impedes him sometimes because he doesn't think he has to work as hard as a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron James. it's terrifying to think how good he would be if he did that. But, you know, he's young and he's having fun and he's rich. And he thinks he's good enough at this point.
Yeah, that's the worrisome mm-hmm. part, because I know even as good as he is now, as good as he can be now, he can be even better if he finds the motivation in just playing the game as opposed to the outside noise. And I wasn't one that jumped on him with the shush moment, and I wasn't one that jumped on him for the, you know, fans got to be better, I got to be better, we all got to be better. But if you don't put up, especially in a game against the Bucks, then that's where I'll fall in line with the majority of people that'll say, dude, shut the hell up and play. He needs to be motivated when the ball goes in the air for tip-off, not because of some tweet or some statement he made.
Well, that's true. And, you know, you probably shouldn't need to be motivated by, you know, your own claims. But I will say this. I mean, Joel played his ass off the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was playing hard. He was the only reason they didn't get blown out in the first half. He was, I mean, they were 2-for-16 from three, and they trailed by 6 at halftime. So that was all Joel Embiid, despite only having 11 points and I think 6 rebounds at the half. Had he not been who he was, playing hard and with Ben leaving after 5 minutes, it would have been people would have turned off their TVs at 9:30. That said, his first foul in the second half was specious, but his second foul, you know, you can't foul Giannis going to the hoop a minute into the third quarter. You know, when he's got you just got to let him go. And he knew it. He wound up on the floor. He looked up at the ceiling and said, you know what? I just lost us any chance to win this game. Not because of lack of effort, but just, you know, a mistake made in the moment. You got to let that guy go in that moment at home. You know, who cares if he took 6 steps to get there? He got there and the whistle's on you.
Speaking with Marcus Hayes, Inquirer.com. Marcus, how concerned are you about Ben Simmons at this point?
I don't know. I mean, he's in really good shape. This has been an issue that he's had chronically for about a year and a half now, and he sort of takes care of the issue. I think he's probably done a little bit too much this season as a whole, and it looks bad. It's bad optics coming out of the All-Star game and not playing because you hurt your back in practice and then, you know, missing the second game, and now it looks like it's going to be at least a week or two from my sort of gut instinct. I mean, the thing that was alarming to me was, I mean, I saw him at shoot around and talked to him, and he seemed pretty fine. I mean, he was shooting free throws. He wasn't walking gingerly. I walked him all the way to the bus, talked about his back. The thing about it for me is when the game began, and I, you know, after pregame warmers, when the game began, we were told he was going to be going back to the locker room during the game to get treatment when he wasn't in the game. So don't be alarmed. He'll be back and forth. And then at the first time out, they put a back brace on to stand there, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty concerning. So I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see him again until after the West Coast trip. I think it's something like LA, Sacramento,
Golden State.
Yeah, you got a bad back. There's no sense of traveling with a team if you're not going to play. You can always fly out there in the middle of it. But, you know, they really need him for this ridiculously easy stretch run that they have, so they can sort of get some cohesion defensively, especially on the road, and figure out who they are offensively with Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks and sort of being incorporated into this, you know, up and down Furkan Korkmaz bench. So I wouldn't play him for that. I think it's a 7-game stretch here. I'd be like, you know what, I'll see you at game, you know, 18 or 19 or whatever it is.
Marcus, if it is something longer than, you know, what you're hoping here on the 7-game or whatever, we talked about motivation for Joel Embiid. Could this be something if you know, Ben Simmons is out, say, God forbid, for the rest of the season? Could it be something that elevates his game because it is that outside motivation that he, you know, craves?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no conflict that I've witnessed between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. There's strife and turmoil, and I think it sort of goes through the coach and the GM and the team structure and things like that. But these guys aren't enemies. So let me frame it that way, Bob. And I think you know that. The reality is, though, these guys are each big enough stars to carry any team anytime. So I think what we might see over the next 7 games is this become Joel Embiid's team the way that the Lakers and old Bucks were Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's team. The way that Hakeem Olajuwon was everything, I mean, absolutely everything for the Houston Rockets. So, and those are really the only two comps, because Tim Duncan always had a better supporting cast, you know, Shaq never won anything by himself, and you could argue he wasn't the most complete player on any of his good teams. So Joel Embiid at this point, in this seven-game stretch, really nine-game stretch because of the last two games without Ben, can sort of cement himself as the fulcrum of this team. And he's never really been in a position to do that because Ben never misses games and he misses tons of games. So this is kind of an interesting, you know, sort of two-week window from my perspective. I think it's going to be about a two-week window where Joel Embiid, who is relatively healthy, he said he had a sore back as well, but if he's relatively healthy and he's playing at this level, and he had a really good first half and he had a really good five quarters against the Nets coming out of the All-Star break, he can cement this as his franchise. Because 2 weeks ago, you know, 3 weeks ago, the conversation was, Joel's not always committed. He's not in shape. Maybe he should be the guy we trade instead of Ben Simmons.
Marcus, what's the biggest difference from the team that plays in South Philadelphia to the team that plays anywhere else?
A second half focus. I mean, and that's on Brett. They come out flat in the second half. They don't make the kinds of adjustments or prepare for the kind of adjustments the other team's going to make against their defensive front. And that, to me, is very fixable. I don't know that they have the type of three-point shooters. If you look at Tobias Harris and Furkan Korkmaz's splits, home versus road shooting threes, that's the issue. They don't shoot threes well on the road. They shoot the most threes. So that's problem A. I don't know if that's fixable. But the bigger problem is they collapse defensively, usually in the third quarter, against good teams with good systems who have three or four different ways to go at halftime. And you know as well as I do, 82 games, the teams come in at about 40 games, you've got your toolbox. You are who you are. And you've got four or five adjustments, sort of stock adjustments that you make for second half. And it's up to the Sixers and Brett Brown to understand which ones you're going to face. If the game is tight, or if the home team is trailing, they have not adjusted to the adjustments, and that's all on Brett Brown and his staff.
Speaking with Marcus Hayes, Inquirer.com. So in the time, about maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks here without Ben Simmons, you said you wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see him until after the road trip, which is West Coast trip, which is March 11th, I believe, is their last game on that trip. What does your starting five look like? Is Glenn Robinson the third and Alec Burks, are they all of a sudden now in the starting lineup?
You know, the conversation, I had this conversation with Team Pompey at the Inquirer after the Bucks game. The conversation around, you know, Joel and Al Horford can't play together, always assumed that Ben Simmons is going to be on the court. If you take Ben Simmons off the court, is that still a valid conversation? Is Al Horford still a bench player? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of three guys you have who are ball stoppers, where the ball goes and it just dies, you only have two, assuming that the replacement, whether it's Alec Burks or, from my perspective, it looks like it's going to be Shake. You know, if you lose your point guard, Josh Richardson can't play point and two. Howell Meadow is, he's the most recent net zero. And I don't think Alec Burks is the kind of guy you can say. Number one, you deplete your bench. You got him to be offense off your bench, so now you no longer have offense off your bench. And I'm not sure that Shake Milton, Shoot the Nuts, isn't a more valuable player against, you know, the other team's point guard than Alec Burks. So I'm not sure that Al Horford becomes a non-option at this point, especially after a game or two without Ben Simmons, which I don't think – I just don't think that they can play without – a third viable, dependable player. And Al Horford does a lot of things well that don't include scoring. But again, I mean, I'm not sure what it looks like. It's probably Shake at the point, but I'm not sure that Al Horford can't start for this team instead of maybe Glenn Robinson third. It'll be interesting to see how it goes over the next 2 weeks.
It's so weird without Ben Simmons, and it's so weird to see Shake Milton be a starter and then not a starter, and then Howell Neto step up against the Nets and be your starter, and then Howell Neto only gets 6 minutes of garbage time against the Bucks while Alec Burks comes in. Brett Brown's obviously a tough guy to figure out. You're talking about the road woes in the second half and Brett not keeping him focused. How can you explain either Brett's offense or his rotation, really? His rotation off the bench, does it make any sense to you?
I believe it was 2015. I wrote a column saying this franchise needs a real point guard at some point. A guy who can play somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes, take care of the ball, hit a 15 to 25 footer. They've never had that guy. Zero times have they had that guy. You can argue Ish Smith was that guy, but he's a schmuck. They still have not had a real point guard in this franchise since the process began. To me, it's always been about personnel. And Brett's partly culpable for that. He was the quote-unquote GM for a while. And he tries to make, you know, silk purses out of foul ears. I think he overthinks things sometimes. But frankly, I mean, all this goes away if you'd had a true backup point guard or, or just a true point guard. Ben Simmons is not a true point guard. So this, for me, it's more about team construction than anything else. A guy who can defend a little bit, shoot a little bit, stay healthy, and run a team. So, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's been my chief criticism and concern and reason for lack of optimism for this team since, really, what was it, 2017-18, when they started looking like an actual basketball team.
Last thing for you, Marcus. Marcus Hayes, TheEnquirer.com. What is the Sixers team right now? Let's say after the road trip, March 11th, they come back. After that, you have so many games left in the season. What do you think this Sixers team is? Is it a first-round playoff exit team, a second-round playoff exit team? Where do you put their cap at?
Well, it kind of depends on how things settle. I mean, if they face Miami in the first round, which is a very good possibility, especially if they face Miami in the first round with no home court, I think they're probably a first-round exit team. However, we didn't know with, 25?
Right now, 25.
Yeah, with 25 games left, we had no idea what the Sixers were going to be 2 years ago. We didn't know what they were going to be last year. And we certainly don't know what they're going to be this year with their point guard injured and really no offensive identity, even with a two-loss home record. We don't really know what this team is. But again, and we probably won't know until the last 2 weeks of the season, assuming Ben comes back, he's healthy, and they sort of integrate Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks a little bit more. It's really kind of like Groundhog Day because, you know, if it wasn't Bellinelli and Ilyasova, it was Tobias Harris and Ilyasova. And now it's no Ben and two trade deadline guys, but you're not going to know until the last couple of weeks. My gut is they get a three, they win the first, they lose the second, and we have a new coach.
That, I think, either way, I think barring a finals appearance, I think that's where the Sixers team's going to end up. Marcus Hayes, Inquirer.com, ink stained dreck. Did I get it right?
Wrench.
Wrench.
Dan, oh, every time. Every time.
Ink stained wrench with no W, just like your life.
Marcus, be careful of the snowfall outside of the, you know, the surrounding suburbs. You know, I know this winter could be getting harsh in not too long.
I'll just call your dad who'll come over in trouble for
you. Marcus, you're the man. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
Thanks, Marcus.
Marcus Hayes, Inquirer.com. They shoveled the sidewalk in the neighborhood.
Aww.
Mark moved into the neighborhood I grew up in.
Yes, he did.
Doylestown. Fun little community.
Liv Simmons is now responding to some people.
Uh-oh.
About her use of profanities. With more profanity.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm trying to tell you, man. Hey, listen. Y'all,
okay. Don't mess with her.
All right. Let's set the table. So, Liv Simmons, Ben Simmons' sister,
yeah,
tweeted out at like 5:30 this morning, our time. I don't know if she's in Philly or Australia right now. What did she tweet out, Jamie?
This is bigger than basketball. Some of you bleep bleeps need to be nicer to my brother, you bleeps. It was more or less the gist of it.
Yeah. Good morning.
So I was just talking to Andrew when Marcus was on.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I caught him up to speed on the tweet and everything. And I was just like, yeah, like when I hear bigger than basketball, he was like, I don't take it that way. I just take it as basically stop being cyber bullies, you dumb, dumb people with, yes, your horrible opinions.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, those are the two ways to take it.
Uh-huh.
Mine, dealing with the Sixers medical history and just overall gut feeling I have in my stomach. I took it the other way, but both are fair. So she tweeted out that bigger than basketball, stop being bleep bleeps to my brothers, you bleep bleeps.
Yes.
Now people have been tweeting at her, like, lovely use of language, like, stop, you know, making people's points.
Are
by
people curse shaming her?
Kinda. Well, they're saying, like, stop standing up for, like, cyberbullying by cursing at people.
That is a good point.
Yeah. And she says, bleep bleep bleep, I am nice to people who are nice to me. I don't know bleeps like you, a mother bleeping thing, but you're all butthurt because I actually call out the bleep bleep. You're a weak man, and some may even say you're acting like a sissy ass bleep. By 2020, I'm not playing. And then she followed up her response and said, sorry I use profanities. I am actually a very intelligent woman, but sometimes I can be vulgar, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
she's a fascinating Twitter study.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm so interested in her right now.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Very aggressive.
I think I love Limp City.
I didn't want to go that deep right out the gate. But
my wife's traveling out of town. I love
Limp City. It's kind of aggressive. She reminds me of my aunt. You know, when I was in high school, when I was young, my aunt, you know, she was very aggressive. It was nothing for me to get off the bus and they'd be like, hey, man, your aunt was just down here fighting somebody, you know. So she, like, a street record is impeccable. I mean, she's undefeated in the streets, dog. And she was probably about 6'2", maybe about, 210, you know, big lady. You know, didn't take any mess, man. Whooped tail all throughout the land. Mm. Hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you. I get off the bus, man, your auntie was just up here whooping somebody behind. Hey, like Simmons. Sister, kind of reminds me of mine.
That's
she's very aggressive.
Auntie,
yeah, I just called her aunt.
Auntie
Ann.
Auntie Ann.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I got Ann.
Like, if she was on Twitter, she'd be Liv.
I got Ann. She'll whoop some ass too.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Ann ain't taking no prisoners.
Yeah.
Ann's the one that made the pasta gator.
Exactly.
Yeah, you ain't messing with her.
Oh, yeah. Take the earrings off in a heartbeat. Y'all really want some of this?
And then you got Al Horford's sister, Anna, who's just like incredibly sexual and horny online. It's a fascinating dynamic with really the Sixers player's sisters.
And she's aggressive as well.
Whoa.
Wait, yeah, she was talking about her man, like, making her, food and doing the laundry and giving her a glass of wine. And somebody tweeted her the other night, was like, it sounds like you're eventually going to cheat on him because your boyfriend sounds like a lame ass. And she came back with, I'm never going to cheat on somebody that gives me multiple orgasms a day.
Oh. Wow!
And I was like, whoa! Hey, horny online alert!
Yeah.
You know, if the Sixers wanted to play bully ball, they should have signed these guys' sisters.
I like everybody's freedom of speech.
Liv Simmons and Anna Horford, they're a good follow.
Liberation is amazing. I love it.
Wow. I'm smitten with Liv Simmons.
I got to go find everybody else's sister. Maybe we're missing great follows out there.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. What's going on? What else is out there?
Is Liv on Instagram?
I don't
she's
know.
She's got to be on Instagram,
would think so,
right?
I think. Yeah.
And follow. Not for nothing is all I'm saying.
Yeah. And Anna Horford does not take politely to the fan base's booing of her brother either.
Oh. Well, but by the way, I asked Anna Horford. Horford? Yo, Ann's, man.
Yeah.
Ann's be crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Ann Horford, I asked her. I said,
is that your freaky cousin's name?
No, Robert.
We're going to get it.
Maybe you'll get it when we go to Allentown. Because maybe that cousin will snitch on our other cousin. Because my cousin Will, that we're going to go see up at the when we go to the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs game to watch Spencer Howard before he comes up to the Phillies. He was at the table with me. We were seated next to each other. We're like, he might tell you. Right. But I ain't singing like a canary. Hmm. But no, Ann Horford, all I know is she hasn't been to Philly yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
I asked her and she didn't tell me.
Huh.
I asked her on the old social media. She didn't answer. 610.
Apparently she's busy with her boyfriend.
Yeah, she was busy. She was, okay, yeah, maybe.
Would you want to leave that man? Even for a second? No, you wouldn't. 610-632-0975. People are telling her that we're talking about her right now, as a matter of fact. So maybe we can get a call in. Maybe she can give us a little...
Say it's all good things. We're saying very good things.
And you know what? By the way, before I go any further, gentlemen, we're going to talk about the NHL trade deadline. 3 p.m. today. We'll see if the Flyers have any moves to do anything there. But shout out to our man, Dion Stafford, fiance of Sam Wilson, who got a little base knock yesterday against the Phillies.
Yeah.
Catching prospect in the Pirates organization, doing himself a fine job. Who got it? Guerrero, I think he got it off of. It wasn't Nola.
I don't even know. No, it wasn't Nola. He was supposed to start, and then they switched it like last minute. He found out on the bus.
Okay.
From Twitter.
Yeah.
I know. He was mad.
I'm sure he is mad. I'd be mad, too. How do you like playing against the Phils?
He loved it. He thought it was so cool. He had a notebook the whole time because JT was playing. He started. So, like, obviously, he's a young catcher. He idolizes JT. So he had a notebook the whole time, was writing notes.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Love here. Good for
Dion. Real Muto's his muse.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it's a good muse to have. He's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
Not a bad one. Not a bad one.
Even though the Phillies didn't think so, but it's $2 million.
Do you think the Phillies told JT Realmuto, look, we can't pay you this because we need to pay off the Fanatic people?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, absolutely.
I'm sure they didn't get that done either.
No, they didn't. Need to save all the pennies
they
can.
I think these Fanatic people are probably being a little greedy. Take your $25 million or whatever rumored to be out there and go enjoy vacation.
Like, if I buy something, but it's written in perpetuity, which is a word I've only pronounced correctly maybe three times in my life, and that was one of them. The other time was earlier in the show. I feel like that's mine forever.
Yeah, it's forever.
But the law doesn't.
But it's not forever, ever, ever, ever.
Forever, ever?
It has to be forever, ever, ever, ever.
Ooh, I am for never meant to. All right, so anyway, when we come back, we'll get into the Flyers trade deadline in a little bit. Frank and South Philly's got something on the Flyers. That's what's coming up here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Other than the carnival being a great success, as it was yesterday for the Flyers Wives Carnival, it was awesome. Trey walking around, all the autographs getting signed for people out there. Claude Giroux, extremely fan-friendly. Just a wild time. They did a great job. A great time at the Dunk Tank. Somebody was asking me about that on Twitch earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The Dunk Tank was cool. Water. Talk about the trade deadline. I would have traded that water for some maybe clean water in the Dunk Tank. Yeah. But nonetheless, a lot of great, a lot of money raised for a great cause.
Yeah. You said the kids were accurate?
Somewhat. Men's and men's. The kids, not so much, but every young child they allowed to step over the line and run up and just push the button that would dunk me in the water, and that was that. So
whatever happened to, you know, hey, you missed.
No, not in today's society.
You missed.
As Bob summed it up earlier, everyone gets a trophy.
You missed. Now you can go and spend some more money.
Yep.
And get another try at it, but you missed.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
I'm happy the kids were happy. By the way, according to people on Twitch, also my love of Liv Simmons, people are calling me now Mark Pervzetta.
Pervzetta?
Pervzetta.
Oh, all right.
Which I'm more offended that it looks like Pavetta. And that's just like, yeah, you back off, buddy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I wouldn't know how that Pavetta pitched on Saturday because we can't watch it.
You have to envision it in your mind.
Yes.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah.
Correctamundo. Yes. Correctamundo. Yeah. Now, here's the bigger story. The Flyers, hottest team in Philadelphia. Hottest team in Philadelphia. They are 7-3-0 in their last 10 games. They're getting it done.
Yeah.
We had aspirations. Oh, maybe a wild card.
They've got the Capitals so shook they're out there making trades for old superstars.
Ilya Kovalchuk, who I forgot was on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was still in the KHL. He got what? The Devils gave him the big deal, and then he went back to the KHL for a heartbeat, then came back.
Yeah, his salary cap hit is dispersed amongst four teams currently.
And according to a gentleman on Flyers.com, this gentleman's name is Bill Meltzer, heading into today's deadline, per cap friendly, Flyers have $71,000. $71,000.
I think Kovalchuk went for 75 or 76.
Oh.
Because it was a Montreal he was with, ate the large majority of his contract before Washington.
All right, they have that in actual cap space before LTIR. So they have $2 million if they actually maxed out. But it's going to be hard to do anything today other than maybe a depth piece. So I'm not expecting any huge name to jump out. Yeah, I know some people were talking about Jeff Carter of the Kings. What do you call it? Thornton was out there as well as another name floated about. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think you might get a depth piece later. And it's not going to be anything that blows anybody's hair back. But it'll be something the Flyers do just to give themselves just a little bit extra depth off that bench.
When you have TK, you don't need much more marks.
Yeah, right. Off the bench. Everybody's off the bench in hockey. There's line changes. Frank in South Philly. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
All right.
What do you guys think about the Flyers? You think they're going to make a run in the playoffs or...
You get a hot goaltender. Hey, if Carter Hart takes his home ability on the road even a little bit, this team can absolutely make a run in the postseason. No doubt.
Awesome. Because, I think I know everybody's down on the Sixers, but, hey, at least we can look forward to the Flyers, I mean, they're coming in as no one's talking about them. And, you know, they could be that underdog that the Eagles were a couple of years ago. And who knows, they can make a run as long as they get that goalie hot at the right time for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's the number one thing. And look, I think they have just enough offense. If some guys get hot, if they do add that depth piece, then I think that they can make a run. But it comes down to goaltending, and they finally have a goalie. He just needs to be that same goalie on the road.
Right, correct. Also, who would you rather play, Washington or Pittsburgh in the first round?
Ooh.
Had Washington's number.
I would rather play Washington,
yeah.
And for a couple of reasons. Not only have you had their number and beat them 2 out of 3 times so far this season, you got one more time coming up in a couple of weeks, I want to say. But whenever you play Pittsburgh in the first round, it's gassed. Like, they're done. After that, they just seem like they're toast.
Understand. Also, one last question here. Do you think they have a shot for the first seed in division here, or you don't think that's
3 points out?
Yeah. They, I think it's 3 points separating them from first place, 2 points from second. Is that what it is right now? Because I think they're third in the Metro as of right now.
Yeah, they're definitely third.
I think it's 3 points from the top spot.
So they are at 77 points. The Penguins are in second place, 3 points away at 80.
Okay.
And the Capitals have 82.
Okay, so
they're five out of first.
Oh, and three,
yeah, three out of second.
Okay, Miss Cousy.
Well, it's obtainable, but you'd need some help from Washington to hit the skids a little bit.
No, but am I wrong? Anytime you play the
No, you use every ounce of energy you have in that series, and they wipe you out.
I really feel like there should be a parade for winning the Stanley Cup or beating the Penguins in a round of the playoffs. Because they're done after that. But no, I'd rather face Washington first.
And the same effect doesn't really happen to the Penguins, though, because they continue to play well in the playoffs.
I really hate them.
Yeah, they're very hateable.
Yeah, they're just stupid, and I hate the organization. And
I hate this new restructure in the NHL playoffs.
And I...
Like, just go back to the top eight. Like, I know you tried to do the rivalry thing with the divisions, but stop.
Why are we messing with playoff structure? Like, why are we doing that?
Every league has this unsatiable desire to always make it better. And sometimes it's just fine.
All right, but real quick, just as far as the trade deadline goes, are they doing any big deal today?
I think they'll do something, nothing big.
Yeah. Okay, depth.
Yeah, like a third or fourth line winger or center.
All right.
I have no idea.
Trey's like, I believe they're going to do the hockey.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Because I have a question with this, man.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's as good as this team is performing, you know, a lot of people don't talk about it. Is it because a lot of people don't know what the hell they're looking at when you watch hockey?
I think because there's a small core base of Flyers fans. Like, there's a hardcore base of Flyers fans, but there's not a big base of hockey fans.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because I enjoy watching it, but I feel like I'm like, okay, I don't. Because, like, when I watch a football play, I understand what a football play is. I understand what that goal is. Or I know the goal is to score. But you see it form. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, even with baseball, with basketball, you see the plays. You see what's forming. With hockey, it's just...
That's why you need to go in and watch film. You and AV.
Yeah, I need to sit down with somebody and, like, we, you know, help me with
this. Work out.
Because I enjoy watching it, but a lot of times I'm looking at it like, that's awesome, good, yay. Yeah. Don't know what just happened there. It just, you know, skate, score. All right, maybe.
dump and chase.
Yeah, you know, that's what it looks like. It looks like a lot of dump and chase.
Muck and grind.
Rarely do you see, like, an actual play formation. And that's where it gets a little confusing with me when I'm watching the game.
It's a lot of adjacent shifting.
Do you understand cycling?
Oh, yeah. I can see when you're changing the lines and all that. I get that.
No.
What,
like,
you mean cycling?
Cycling in the offensive zone. Like, when they
hell no. I don't know what you're talking about with that.
See, I'll tell you right now. Yeah. You and Claude Giroux. See, I can't explain it without drawing it, and that's not radio friendly. But Claude Giroux would love to sit in a room with you. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's a sports fan, Claude Giroux.
Yeah, I need that.
Particularly basketball, but he likes his foosball.
But what's cycling, though? You know, just real quick.
It basically is your forward circle going in a cycle. Like,
okay, yeah. When you pass the puck around.
Yeah, you're almost in triangle formation, and you're shifting and cutting. And it's similar to lacrosse in a way, where it's like a triangle formation that kind of shifts and rotates as a wheel. Almost.
Okay. See, lacrosse wasn't, when I was coming up, it wasn't even anything off of that. That would... In Florida.
Fun fact, lacrosse is Canada's national sport.
Yeah, it's more of a Northeast sport. Yeah.
It's starting to pick up a little bit more in Florida, but when I was coming up, it wasn't even, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's cool. I enjoy watching the game. I have so much respect for it. You know, extremely athletic, but a lot of times when I'm looking at it, I'm like,
honestly, I think one of the things that would make it, and no pun intended, what has taken a hit in Philadelphia is the lack of fighting. Because we love that.
Because we're hoagie mouths.
Well, yeah.
And by the way, in terms of the standings, the Penguins do have one in hand in terms of game played.
Okay.
So they could be as good as 5 points away in theory as well.
All right. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more from our man Joel Embiid after the loss against the Bucks on Saturday. Time of the Fanatic is 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
From a buddy of mine. I talked about the rodeo I was at in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
He was there, too.
No, he's like, dude, who was the guy from Mount Carmel that was at the rodeo? I told him. He knows I wasn't making it up. Of all places to bump into somebody from your grade school.
That's strange.
Bada boom, bada bang. Just like that. What does Eileen Lynch like to say about Philadelphia, Jamie?
It's the biggest small city in the world.
Damn right it is. How about that?
I'll tell you what, man. I appreciate the quick diagram right there.
Oh, yeah. You guys were doing a little circle.
Let me just say it was nice to draw a play for you.
Yeah, that was awesome. that helps me a lot now when I'm looking at it. It's like, because a lot of times I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, here's
that
the funny
fancy goal. Very nice. Awesome. But I have no idea how we set that up.
I think hockey is the one sport where every play design ends with, and hopefully we get the bounce. we put it in the back of the net. But no, it was just a simple cycling.
Yeah,
and,
I like that. That helps a lot.
And point to point on the, when you hear the term point to point, often it's for a power play.
Oh, yeah.
Two guys at the blue line, two defensemen at the blue line, uh-huh. Trying to make things happen.
All right.
See, that's why I showed you the guy in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
That is why my all-time favorite Flyer is John LeClair.
Okay.
Because he was the guy that guys would be hacking in the back of in his back with their sticks. And he'd be like, yeah, it's great. 50 goals. Boom.
There you go.
And before him, Tim Kerr.
Tim Kerr, of course.
Before him, Gary Dornhofer. Those are your guys down low.
Stop it right there.
There you
Gary
go.
Dornhofer. Stop it right there. Gary Dornhofer. 610-632-0975. Here is Joel Embiid after the Bucks game. Now, if you remember, Trey, he said the best player in the world.
Yes.
He's the best player in the world. That has gotten legs. We were skeptical. It was like, was he really calling himself best player in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like he was speaking in the third person as the best player in the world, which struck me as odd. During the broadcast.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb there.
During the broadcast itself, it got brought up. Even after the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo got asked about it. But Joel Embiid, I thought he was blame-shifting at first. Turns out not the case. Here he is post-game on why the Sixers fell to the Bucks Saturday night.
Brother, you know, I just feel like replay on. You know, shots are going to fall. We missed a lot of easy ones. I missed a lot of easy ones. So, you know, I didn't have the attitude that they, you know, that I should have had. I felt like I had it, but I didn't show it. So it was on me.
Yeah, the 76ers shot 35% from the floor Saturday night, 34% from beyond the arc, to a Bucks team that shot 52% from the floor and the same 34% from beyond the arc. You ain't going to win that game if you shoot 35%. And the guy that really bothered me the most in all of it, and it's weird because he's new, Alec Burks. Like, couldn't throw the ball in the ocean.
Nah, he's like 3 for 13.
3 for 13, 1 for 5 from three. And I know at least two of the threes that he missed. Sixers are starting to make a little bit of a push. Or they just got a turnover and were trying to convert to get some points for themselves. And they were bricks. One was an air ball.
Yeah. Well, that's Brett's system. If you're open, shoot it. And even if you're not, think about shooting it. So, you know, he's not going to get reprimanded for it. The eyes aren't going to roll because he took it. They're encouraged to do so. So it is maddening, though, when you're trying to mount a comeback and you see an Alec Burks jacking a three as opposed to, all right, you're down two. Why not feed the big man?
All right, well, you know, if you want to find some shooters, how about the Fanatic help out here? Because the Fanatic and the 76ers, we have our another knockout tournament. It's back. That's right. Keep listening all week as the Fanatic gives you a chance to play knockout. on the Sixers court after the game Wednesday, March 18th against the Raptors. You'll score a pair of tickets to the Sixers-Raptors game. Then after the game, you'll experience what it feels like to play on the hardwood at the Wells Fargo Center. As Jamie likes to say, the Farg.
Don't Farg, make that a baby. Thing.
I like my nickname better.
Bob and I are heading down to the Farg tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
You guys are going down to the Wellgo Center?
The Wellgo. That's not bad.
Hey, you're welcome.
It's no Farg, but it's not bad.
It's better than Farg. Bobby, I'll go to you for a ruling. Wellgo Center, Farg.
Neither.
Trey?
Say what now?
Wellgo Center?
I was trying to clean.
I like the Farg.
Please don't encourage him.
Samantha looked up from the hub for a second to vote against me.
Because she's been on the hub. She's definitely been surfing.
No, I'm running my workout.
Yeah, we had a...
I know, on the hub.
The station got hacked.
Yeah, the station got hacked.
Yeah,
cat's being lazy, man. You know, logging into the hub. You can't log into the hub with your work emails, man. Yeah. You know what
can't
saying?
Get on Google at work, but can get on the hub.
Yeah, you can't hub it up at work.
Come on, man. Stop being lazy.
Who's hubbing up the hub?
We get a chain text. Hey, you know, the hub got me. Email's been hacked.
But anyway, for your chance... Your chance to win. Keep listening all week long. Presented by Trumark Financial, the only place to get the official 76ers credit card and enjoy exclusive Sixers experiences and get merchandise and so much more. Visit Trumark.com. That's Trumark, TRUMARK.com to learn more and apply. Sam, we didn't do a Twitter poll, but if we did, who brings us a Twitter poll?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com.
Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is we talked about Liv Simmons today talking about Ben, but she just keeps going off on Twitter, and it's so awesome. It's very entertaining.
That is a nice takeaway. Jamie Lynch?
My takeaway of the day is don't mess with the Sixer Sisters on Twitter.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Sixer Sisters.
Or maybe Anna Horvath.
It's optional. Got to keep your options open.
Sixer Sisters.
Sixer Sisters.
Sixer Sisters.
Sixer Sisters. Got it.
Bob Cooney.
Elena and Matt, can't wait to meet you tonight.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the Holy Spirit staying between you,
there you
at
go.
All what? Times.
There you go.
It's first date, baby.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, what is your takeaway there?
What's her name? Elena Simmons? That's her name?
Anna.
No, Anna Simmons.
Liv Simmons.
We love you at the station here.
We do.
We really appreciate you. Like that.
My takeaway of the day is that Marcus Hayes says he'd be surprised to see Ben Simmons back before March 11th, which is the end of their West Coast road trip.
I tend to agree with him. Best case scenario.
Best case scenario. We'll find out more about it later today. Other than that, yeah, Liv Simmons. I love you, feisty lady.
Feisty. Oh,
I love you, Liv.
Aggressive.
Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.